Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So about a little over a week ago now, on October 13th, William Shatner went into space. You probably heard this story, right? He went with the Blue Origin space crew. Famous, of course, for playing Captain Kirk on Star Trek, he's now the oldest person to go into space at 90 years old. And yes, the fact that he's an actor, not an astronaut, was partly a publicity stunt for Blue Origin, but whatever. Shatner took the 10-minute ride in a tourist rocket and was left amazed by the entire experience. The next day, he was interviewed on the Today Show and described just how awestruck he was. For example, in terms of being weightless, he said, "You can talk about weightlessness all you want, but the feeling of weightlessness, the actual feeling of it, is indescribable." And then he added, "While being weightless, I thought, I don't want to turn somersaults. I don't want to throw Skittles. I want to look out the window." The whole thing was indescribable. Of course, all of us have seen pictures of the Earth from space, but Shatner actually got to see it. Right? There is something amazing about seeing something in person you've only seen pictures of or heard about. And maybe you know that experience. Like, even though you've never been to space, maybe you have gone on a trip somewhere, a place that you had only read about or seen pictures of before. But then you got to go there yourself. Right, for me, that was my Holy Land trip. Right, I've heard about these places in the Bible, but it was amazing to see them in person. Places like Nazareth, where Jesus was born. The upper room where he had the Last Supper. Even the traditional spot of his tomb in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It was, as Shatner said, indescribable. Well, in today's gospel reading, we hear about a man who got to see something in person, too. Actually, he got to see someone. Jesus. His name was Bartimaeus. He was a blind beggar on the side of the road outside of Jericho. Now, Jesus, his disciples, and this big crowd were passing by. Now think about it. Bartimaeus couldn't see what was happening, but he could hear what was happening. He could hear the crowd. And he probably heard someone in the crowd say Jesus' name. So that's how he knew Jesus was there. And of course, when he heard that, he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Well, the people told him to shut up, but he just cried out even more. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then when Jesus summoned him, he said something very interesting to him. "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, if that line sounds familiar to you, it should. We heard Jesus say the same thing last week to James and John. Remember that scene? They approached him and said to him, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said, "Well, what is it you want me to do for you?" Now, the two of them wanted seats of power and obviously didn't understand what they were talking about. But Bartimaeus simply wanted to see. Yes, he wanted his eyes to work again, but I think there's more to it than that. Right? He had heard about Jesus, but he wanted to see Jesus for himself. Notice, for example, that he called Jesus Son of David. He already knew who Jesus was. And in fact, that is the first time that phrase, Son of David, shows up in this gospel. So Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He had heard about him. But it's one thing to hear about Jesus. It's another thing to see him and follow him. So Jesus granted him that sight. So it's both ironic and appropriate that after 6 weeks of gospel readings about discipleship, the one who finally sees what discipleship is about is a blind man. Throughout all these weeks, the disciples, these guys who have followed Jesus since the beginning of his ministry, they are really the blind ones. They thought discipleship meant things like who was the most important in their group, or how their group was better than this exorcist who's not a part of their group, or how they could have seats of power. Over and over again, though, Jesus reminded them that discipleship is about taking up your cross. It's about serving those who are powerless. It's about putting others before yourself. It's about seeing Jesus and what he's up to. But of course, those disciples still didn't see it. They saw Jesus with their eyes, but they didn't really see what discipleship meant. Bartimaeus, on the other hand, who couldn't see with his eyes, he saw who Jesus really was and what it really meant to follow. So it's a beautiful ending to this section in Mark here. Also, consider this. When Jesus summons Bartimaeus, he throws off his cloak, springs up, and comes to Jesus. Well, as a poor man, his cloak was probably his only possession. It was not only what kept him warm at night, but also where he collected the money people gave him. But when Jesus called him, he threw it off, cast it aside, no longer needed it. Some commentators have said that maybe this is a reference to when people in the early church were baptized. They tossed aside their old clothes, they were baptized naked, and then they were wrapped up in a white garment on the other side of the baptismal pool. Jesus called them to follow, and they cast aside their old ways, and they embraced the new life that Jesus gave them. That's what's happening to Bartimaeus here. He is casting off the old ways, and he's getting a brand new life. So in a sense, this is not only a healing scene for him, this is his call story. He is a new disciple here. And think about all of the other disciples too. Right? When Jesus called them for the first time, they reacted in much the same way. Right? They dropped their fishing nets. They left their boats. They abandoned their families and their businesses, and they followed Jesus. He called them, and they just dropped everything to set out on this new adventure with him. Of course, they didn't have a clue what they were going to face. Right? Just like Bartimaeus, he didn't know how hard this road of discipleship really was. But he was excited to do it, just like the other disciples were early on, too. But now, of course, by this point in the story, the other disciples have become not only clueless, but also maybe a bit cynical and jaded. Right? They've been following Jesus for a while, and they've heard him say how tough discipleship really was. Granted, they didn't like what he said, but they still tried to follow. So think of it like your relationship with Jesus. Perhaps when you started off on this life of faith, you were excited and energetic too. You dropped all your old ways of living and embraced this new life that Jesus was calling you to live. But now, you've been around the block a few times. You've seen the real world. You know how hard it can really be. You've faced distractions and temptations and doubts. And sometimes you do a good job being a disciple, and sometimes you don't. But you're still trying to follow. And sometimes, maybe most of the time, you don't really feel as excited about it as you once did. So that means these disciples here have seemed to settle for looking at pictures or reading books than actually seeing Jesus. In other words, instead of being excited to follow him, they became focused on their own lives and their own comfort. Very much like us. Think again about James and John's request from last week. They had the living Jesus right there in front of them, but they weren't really paying attention. Instead, they just wanted comfort and power. Bartimaeus, on the other hand, he had heard about Jesus, and he wanted to really see him. He wanted to follow him. And it wasn't just because he was new to this discipleship thing. I think it was because he had heard about Jesus, but that wasn't enough for him. He wanted to experience Jesus for himself. Just like you going on that trip, right? It wasn't enough for you to just look at pictures somebody else took or read the information about the place. You wanted to experience it for yourself. It's the same thing with the life of faith. There is so much more to following Jesus than just reading about him or hearing about him. There's so much more than just coming here for an hour on Sunday, singing some hymns and listening to a sermon. There's the real joy of following Jesus throughout the week. But let's be honest. Sometimes we think that people who have joy in following Jesus are in some kind of honeymoon stage. They're new to this life of faith, and so we think that experience is going to wear off for them, like it does in any new relationship. And I'm sure you've met people like that. They are super excited about Jesus, but you're not. And secretly, you think you know better than they do. You might think that they're a little naive, and sooner or later, that excitement's going to fade away. But remember, Bartimaeus was the one who really saw here. The longtime disciples did not. Bartimaeus can remind us of the importance of joy in following Jesus. But let me clarify. Being joyful does not mean that, contrary to that old song, you are in right, outright, upright, downright, happy all the time. Right? None of us feel that way. Jesus knows how hard life is. Even he wasn't happy all the time. So joy is not happiness. Happiness is a feeling that comes and goes. But joy? Joy is knowing that Jesus is with you, no matter what is going on and no matter how you're feeling. In other words, being joyful is the opposite of being cynical and jaded. It's trusting that even when bad things happen, God is still in charge. That's what Bartimaeus wanted to see. And that's what all the other disciples took for granted. Right? Like William Shatner said, I didn't want to do somersaults. I didn't want to throw Skittles. I wanted to look out the window. Astronauts who have been to space before took for granted the sight of Earth from above. So they did somersaults and they threw candy. Shatner didn't. And because of that, he was overjoyed by the experience. And so today, Jesus summons us and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And like Bartimaeus, we say, "My teacher, let me see again. Let me see you. Let me see joy. Let me see what it really means to follow you." And then, my friends, don't be surprised if Jesus opens your eyes, opens your heart, and opens your mind to see him in ways you have never seen him before. Like Bartimaeus, we throw aside our cloaks and we follow him in a truly joyful and indescribable adventure. So, in the name of this one who makes us see, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.